Good morning, everybody. Glad you guys are here this morning. It's going to be an awesome day in church. I'm excited to be here and speaking to you guys this morning. It's the 11 a.m. crowd, so we're wide awake and ready to go, aren't we? Yeah, I love it. You guys are great. Okay, so my parents, they asked me to speak this morning, and so I'm grateful that they gave me another opportunity to be up here and trusting that you guys will be encouraged by what the Lord, I ultimately believe, wants to share with us this morning. What I'm going to be talking about, there's a title for it. We can call the title Seated. And I think I'm really passionate about this subject because I think this is just a game changer for our Christian walk. And so we'll get into it, but I'm just excited about it and pray that you're just ready to receive from the Holy Spirit. So let's pray to start off. Lord, we just are so grateful to be in your house, Lord, to be able to just worship you freely and openly every Sunday morning, God, and then to sit under the teaching of your word. And so, God, this morning we just trust that, Lord, it's not my words that are going to be spoken or my words that will be remembered, but that, Lord, you will ultimately speak to every single person in this room, that Holy Spirit, you will speak to every single person, and that, God, it's your words that will impact them and change the trajectory of their life. And so, Father, we thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Okay, so like I said, this is called Seated, and I believe that this is an important message because I think it can change how you view life, the outcome of your life, and how you view any trial or issue or anything that may come your way. So again, it's called Seated. Now, when we think about seated and we think about our seats are important, and our seats make a difference, and our seats matter. So what do I mean by this? If you are on an airplane, you know that your seat matters. You want to be ultimately sitting in first class. Can I get a woo-woo? We all want to be sitting in first class. You don't want to be sitting in coach. Every time I get onto an airplane and I walk into the airplane, I don't know if you do this, but I do this every time. Like every step I take as I'm looking at first class, I'm like, oh, those seats look so awesome. They're so big and they all have drinks and they all have pillows and blankets. I wish I was sitting there. And then I head back to like row 47F and I'm like, oh yeah, back of the plane for me. So your seat matters, especially if it's an international flight. Oh my goodness, your seat matters if you're like sitting next to the crying baby and like right in the middle of the row, or if you're sitting in first class with like a full reclining, bench that can like have its own little cubby. Your seat matters in a situation like that. So your seat makes a difference. Even how your overall airplane experience goes, your seat makes a difference, right? Okay, other things that where your seat makes a difference. If you're an athlete, if you're on an athletic team, your seat makes a difference because in an athletic situation, you don't want to be sitting down, right? You don't want to be the bench warmer. You want to be the one that's in the game, in on the action, having fun, not warming up your bench because your seat matters. Your seat makes a difference. If you're warming the bench the whole game, it might not be as fun because your seat matters, right? How about in church? Where you're sitting in church makes a difference. Are you in the front row so that you can like feel the like sweat and the spit coming out from the speaker and the worship team members? Or is this like your first time where you're kind of new, so you're like, I'll sit in the back corner so I can be close to the door so I can exit quickly because I'm not too sure about this quite yet, right? Your seat matters. Okay, or this. I've seen this happen, especially in youth. I've seen this happen where I can tell why certain people sit next to certain people or sit in the same vicinity as other people. So because for the sole purpose of, I'm going to sit here because I want that cute boy to know that I'm worshiping Jesus. I want him to see me worshiping Jesus so he knows I'm a catch, right? We've all done it. Maybe you haven't. I know I did growing up, because your seat matters. Your seat makes a difference. Okay, what else? What else makes a difference? If you're in the band, your seat matters where you're at in the band. Are you first chair, second chair, or is your chair not even numbered because you're so far in the back, it doesn't even matter? Your seat matters. You want to be in the first chair or second chair. Your seat makes a difference. Your seat matters. Amen? Right? So, in thinking about all of this, I was reminded of a time when I was in college with two of my best friends, and we went to some Pistons games. And so one time, there was this situation that happened. We were like, hey, let's just see, like, at the time, the Pistons were terrible. Like, nobody was going to the games. And so we're like, hey, let's look and see what like, prices tickets are going for these games. So we look online, $2 tickets. So we paid $2. We're like, yeah, we'll go to a game for $2. So we paid $2 to go to the Pistons game. Now, when you pay $2 for a seat, you can probably assume that you're way up in the nosebleeds. We were literally two rows from the very back wall. That's how bad our seats were. So, I mean, we were in the nosebleeds, but we're like, hey, we paid $2. This is kind of what we deserve. But our seat made a difference. So up in the nosebleeds, if you've ever sat in the nosebleeds, you know it's kind of hard to see the court. You can't really even see the players. So you don't really even pay attention to the game. You're just, like, watching everything else. And our goal ended up becoming, like, okay, let's see how close to the court can we actually get. Like, let's just every few plays, every few points, let's just move down closer and closer and closer to the court. And then ultimately, let's try to get on the Jumbotron as many times as we can. So that became, like, our Pistons experience for that first game. So we go to the game, and it was, you know, it was fun, but we're way up in the nosebleeds. And eventually, they have a picture. Eventually, we were able to get a little bit closer and, like, snag a picture really quick. It's like, you take the picture, and then immediately we're like, all right, go. This isn't our seat, so, like, let's get out of here. But it was a fun time. So anyways, during this particular game, our first game that we went to, through some mutual friends, we ended up meeting one of the Pistons shooting coaches. He was the shooting coach for Chauncey Billups. And so we got to meet him, introduce ourselves to him, and then just from introducing ourselves, we met a few of the security guards and began to form a relationship with some of the security guards for the Palace of Auburn Hills. And so we got to meet some people and hang out. And so after some conversation and just getting to know them, they told us, they're like, all right, well, next time you guys want to go to a game, just let us know. Just give us a call, shoot us an email, we'll save you some tickets. Next game, tickets are on us. Just don't be shy, just ask us. So we're like, heck yeah, we're gonna ask them for tickets next time. So we're like college students, of course we're gonna get free tickets to a game. So anyways, we shoot them an email, and this began a relationship that we had with this Pistons coach and with these security guards, where every few months we'd shoot them an email, and we went to so many games throughout college. Now, when you have a hookup and you know people, they were able to give us tickets that were a whole lot better than nosebleeds. So we went from being up in the nosebleeds, way up in the back, to then progressively getting closer and closer to the court. And it ended up being that most games we went to, we were never farther back than about 13 rows up. That was about where we were every single time. Now, your experience at a Pistons game at 13 rows up is significantly different than the nosebleeds. Because at 13 rows up, you can, like, see the sweat on the players. You can actually see their faces and, like, know what number is on the court, because you can actually, like, see them. When they're announcing the players at the beginning of the game, they always shoot off these, like, fire thingies that, like, just flames shoot up in the air. When you're at 13 rows, you can literally feel the heat of the flames, and, like, you're, like, checking to make sure, like, hair hasn't been, like, singed off, because you're that close to the fire. It feels and is seriously amazing. So then that experience was also different, because at times what those seats allowed us to do is those seats allowed us to go on the court before the game and even after the game to, like, shake hands, shoot around, have fun. And then at times those seats also gave us the opportunity to get a free drink from the concession stand, to get a free popcorn, free sugar-coated almonds. I mean, there's different perks that came with those tickets, and it was unbelievable. And then what happened is at times we would be, you know, sitting somewhere, and then one of our security guard friends, she would see us, and she'd be like, oh, girls, I can get you better positions than this. Come with me. And so she would take us to be even closer. One game, we were able to sit third row. I think they have another picture of that. I don't think you can see it so much, but if you were able to see it, you would see it in the background. We're, like, sitting on those really thick black cushiony chairs that are, like, for, like, the celebrities. That was us. Third row of the court. It was seriously amazing. So these games were a game changer when we were sitting closer, because, once again, our seat matters. At different times, we also even got free Pistons gear. We were able to get, like, hats and blankets and jackets and mugs and all this different stuff because our seat made a difference. What was on our ticket got us something that was a little bit better than if you're in the nosebleeds. Now, once again, our seat makes a difference. As Christians, as believers, where we are seated makes a huge difference for our life. Our seat matters as believers. And so I'm going to break it down, because, like I said, this is, to me, I think, an important message, an important topic, because I think this will change the way that you live your life. This will change your Christian experience. And this will also change the experience that people around you have, because they get to see you living in the way that God intended for you to live, a way that's higher and better than what the world has to offer. So once again, our seat matters. So what I want to do is I want to start off with this. I want to talk about where we were and where we are now. So before Jesus, we were far from God. We were far from Christ. We were, you know, kind of just living in the world and just being the subject of what the world was throwing our way. But as soon as we made Jesus the Lord of our life, what happened is we became a new creature in Christ, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we were made into a completely new creation. And then what happens is because of that, we then get adopted into a new family. We get brought into a new family. The old us is gone. Our old family, quote unquote, is gone. We are brought into a new creation, and we are brought into the family of God. So Ephesians 2:12-13 says this. Ephesians 2:12-13 says this. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now, you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. That's awesome, right? So once we were far from God, once we were far from the Lord, but once we made Jesus the Lord of our life, at that exact moment, we got united with Christ and we got seated with Christ. So you can see here, I have two chairs up here. And this chair right here, this represents us being seated with Christ. When we made Jesus the Lord of our life, we got united with Christ. Another verse that talks about this is Romans 8:15-17. Romans 8:15-17 says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are the heirs of God's glory. That's amazing news. We become children of God, and then because we are children of God, we become heirs of God, and we're heirs to everything that God offers. We are heirs to God's glory. There are some amazing benefits that come with being an heir. Now, my married name is Annie Spangler, but my maiden name is Jones. I am the daughter of Jeff and Beth Jones, the awesome pastors of this church. Now, being an heir of Jeff and Beth Jones has a lot of benefits attached to it. Similar to how probably you growing up, there were certain benefits and advantages that you had because you're the children of your parents. There may be some things that you're able to do that others aren't able to do because you're just simply an heir. Well, being an heir of the Jones family means that I have a string cheese blessing. I get the advantage of unlimited string cheese. Growing up, I cannot remember a Sunday where I came to church and didn't enjoy string cheese and a can of Coke. Because every Sunday, my dad, for as long as I can remember, my dad has always had a mini fridge in his office. And that mini fridge is stocked full of string cheese. So growing up, me and my siblings, we would, whatever we wanted, we would just waltz right into my dad's office, open up that mini fridge, take a string cheese, and just enjoy the delicacy of string cheese. Every single Sunday. Even still now, as like grown adults, we still enjoy a string cheese every now and then. And there's still string cheese in the mini fridge in my dad's office. But that was a benefit that we got as heirs of Jeff and Beth Jones. It was an advantage that we got. Now, what would happen though is I could have the confidence because I'm an heir. I know those string cheese, even though they're stored in my dad's fridge in his office, really those string cheese are mine. So without hesitation, with full confidence, whenever I want, I just waltz in and get a string cheese. Now, if one of you were to just one day decide, I have a hankering for some string cheese, and you were to go back into the South offices, and you were to go into my dad's office and grab a string cheese, it would become a security threat. You might get tackled down. We might ask some questions because you're not yet an heir to the string cheese blessing like I am. I am an heir to the string cheese blessing. Now, my husband, Zach, when Zach and I were, you know, before we started dating, if he were to do the same thing, again, we would say, Zach, you're a punk kid. Like, why are you going into this? I would never say that because my eyes were always just so... Yeah, everyone else would think that. they would think, oh, who is this like kid just like walking in and getting a string of cheese? He's not supposed to be in there. That's super weird, right? But as soon as Zach became a part of our family, as soon as he became a son-in-law, as soon as he was adopted into our family, he then became an heir to the string cheese. And I know that he loves a good string cheese every now and again. So again, there's certain benefits, there's certain blessings that come with being an heir. And the same thing is true for all of us as children of God. When we become in Christ, united with Jesus, and we become children of God, there are benefits that are ours, there are advantages that are ours simply because we are the heir of God. We are the heirs of His glory. And it's an amazing benefit that we ought to be taking advantage of. We ought to know about it, and we ought to take advantage of it. Amen? So, like I said, we get the benefits of string cheese. Okay, now what I want to do is I want to look at what our position is specifically as it relates to being seated with Christ. So Ephesians 2 verse 6 tells us this. I'm going to read it from the New Living and from the Amplified. Ephesians 2 6 says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." The Amplified Version says, "And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." So he made us, God made us to sit down together, to give us joint seating with him, with Jesus. So once again, here we are, as soon as we became believers, as soon as we gave our life to Jesus, we become children of God, we become heirs of God's glory, and then we are seated with Christ, joint heirs, having joint seating with Christ above in the heavenly realm. So I want to look at now at a verse in Ephesians 1 verse 20, because then what we need to know then is, okay, if we know, we understand, okay, we're united with Christ, we're seated with him, but where is Jesus seated and why does that matter for us? Why is that important? Because you can just be seated with Christ, but unless you know where he's seated and why that's important, then it's just kind of like, okay, whatever. So we got to know where is he seated. So Ephesians 1 verse 20 through 22 tells us this. It says, "When he raised him from the dead and seated him," when God raised Jesus from the dead and seated Jesus at God's right hand in the heavenly places, this is where he's seated. "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church." So that's where Jesus is seated. Jesus, God raised Jesus and seated Jesus far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and anything that has a name. That's where you are seated. With Jesus, as a joint heir, as in joint seating, you are seated far above all power, all principality, all might, all dominion, and anything that has a name. That's amazing news. That's where we're seated. We then are given the authority to then walk in the power and walk in the authority that God has given us simply because we are heirs to the throne. We are heirs, joint heirs, seated with Jesus. So what happens is essentially Jesus, when he died and went to the cross, he died and went to the cross, he went to hell, and then he rose again. What Jesus did is Jesus defeated Satan and basically took back the authority that Satan had stolen at Adam's disobedience in the beginning of age at the fall. What Jesus did is he took back all the authority that Satan had and said, okay, nope, now that authority belongs to us. And then what Jesus did is he said, okay, that authority belongs to me, and now I'm going to give it to my heirs. My heirs now have authority over the enemy. My heirs now have authority in this world. Satan may be the god of this world, little g, but we have the power and the dominion with Christ to rule and to reign and to be above Satan and to be above anything that's in this world, anything that has a name. We now can rule and reign because Jesus gave us that power, gave us that authority, gave us that dominion. So what does that authority really mean? What happens is this: we get to use the name of Jesus because we're seated with him, and we get to use the word of God. So any situation that comes our way, any trial, any tribulation, anything that happens in the world, we can say, okay, nope, I'm an heir. I'm seated with Christ. And so because of that, I can then use the name of Jesus and the word of God to defeat anything that may come my way. Not because of me, not because I'm great and because I did anything, all because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us. Amen. That's amazing stinking news. So he gave us this authority, but then what we have to do is then we have to dare to actually use the authority. We have to actually say, okay, no, I recognize, I acknowledge that's where I'm seated, and now I'm going to use that position. Because John 10:10 tells us this, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So the enemy's job, his role, his task on earth is to steal from you, to kill, and destroy. But God's purpose is to give you life, life more abundantly, a rich and satisfying life. And so then what we have to do is we have to acknowledge, okay, this is where I'm seated. So I'm not going to let the enemy steal, kill, and destroy from you, from me. I'm going to say, no, this is where I'm seated, and God has given me authority to live a blessed life, a rich and satisfying life where I can have confidence with any trial I face. I can have confidence in who God is. I'm not the subject of my circumstances. I'm going to rise above because of Jesus, because I'm seated with him in heavenly realms, far above all principality and power and anything that has a name. So we've got to know if that's Satan's purpose to steal, kill, and destroy. We've got to know God's purpose. And then we have to have just to go for it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, it's hilarious to me. It's something that I believe it's in Job, and God says, gird up your loins. That's the phrase, gird up your loins. I love that. And when I first read that, I laughed out loud because I was like, that is hilarious. Basically, what God is saying is he's saying, hey, put on your big girl panties. Get it together. Gird up your loins. Let's get some gumption. Let's get some fight. Let's say, hey, no, I'm not going to be subject to what the enemy has for my life. I'm going to walk in the authority and the blessing that God has for my life. And I'm going to rise above whatever the enemy may try to throw my way. We've got to gird up our loins. Okay, so once again, what I want to explain with this is that knowing that you're in this position, knowing that you're in this seat gives you a sense of authority, right? So when you're flying in a plane, you're flying first class, there are certain advantages that you get flying first class. One of those things being you get access to a first class bathroom, right? So you get a bathroom that you get to use that nobody else gets to use because it's just for first class. Because your authority, the authority that you've been given sitting in the first class seat is that bathroom is mine to use. If you're sitting in coach, you don't have the same authority to go use that bathroom. You got to use the other bathroom. You can't cross that curtain barrier that's so strong. You got to stay in the back of the plane. But if you're in first class, the authority that you have is to use that bathroom. Or if you're sitting at a Pistons game, the authority that you have is to sit in the third row. If your ticket says you're in the nosebleeds, then you don't have the authority. But if you're sitting in third row and your ticket says, hey, I'm in third row, then you can say, I'm here with confidence because this is what my ticket says. This is the authority that I have because this is my seat. So the same thing is true in our Christian walk. We have to know the authority we have. And then when we know the authority we have, we can walk in confidence because our seat gives us a sense of authority. Amen? Okay, so then the question is, why, if this is all true, if this is the case, if we have this awesome position of whatever here in this seat, why is it that so many Christians aren't walking in that place, in that position of authority? Why is it that it seems that so many people, and unfortunately so many believers, are walking around subject to their circumstances, victims of their circumstances? Why does it seem like so many people are just getting beat up by the enemy left and right, always living this Eeyore kind of lifestyle? Why is that the case? And I believe it's because we have to know what's available to us. We have to know the Word of God. We've got to know what the promises of God are. We've got to know what God has given to us, because if we don't know, then how can we operate in it? If I didn't know that my ticket, when I went to a Pistons game, if I didn't know that my ticket told me, hey, you can sit in row 13, seat 12, then I wouldn't sit there because I wouldn't know where I was supposed to go. If I didn't look at my ticket and read my ticket and see where I'm supposed to sit, and then if I didn't flip my ticket over and see on the back that I get one free drink from the concession stand, if I didn't know and read my ticket, then I would have no idea where to go. I would have no idea how to take advantage of the advantages that came with my seat, and I would just be walking around being like, oh, I guess I missed out. Wish I could have that. When, in fact, the reality is, it was already mine. Right? So you have to know, we have to know the Word of God. Because when we know the Word of God, when we know the promises that are written in the Word of God, then that gives us the assurance that the promises of God are true and real, and that God is faithful to fulfill His Word and to fulfill His promises. But you can't have the assurance that the promises will come true if you don't even know that there's a promise in there for you. So we have to know the Word of God. You have to know what your ticket says. Now, with all of this, we have to not only know that we're seated with Christ, but then we have to know what our ticket says. We have to know what that actually means. We have to know the authority that we then have because we're seated in this position. And then when we do that, it will truly revolutionize the way you live life. It will revolutionize the way you face anything that comes your way. The reality is that becoming a Christian does not mean that suddenly everything gets better, that suddenly you never have issues, that suddenly all your financial problems are solved. No, there's still things that we face, but when you know that you're seated with Christ and when you know what's written on the book, written on your ticket, then it changes the way you live. So what can happen, practically speaking, what can happen is that if we don't know that we're seated there, then what we can do is we can sit in this chair. And this chair can look like a lot of things, but sometimes this chair looks like the chair of fear. And so we sit in the chair of fear, and we get all worked up and all worried about all the things that are happening, all the things that are going on in the world, and all the fears that we have for safety, and all the fears that we have for what our future is going to look like. And we can get into this place of we're just always afraid. We're always freaking out. We're always worried. We're just afraid. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know, oh my goodness, what's going to happen with my future? What's going to happen with my family? I'm just so afraid. Maybe you've had those inner thoughts before. So you can sit in this chair of fear and you can just get beat up left and right. Just the subject of what's happening around you, the subject of the chaos that's happening around you. Or what you can do is you can say, no, I'm seated with Christ. That's not my chair. This is my chair. I'm seated with Christ. I'm united with Him. And because I'm seated with Christ and because I know what my ticket says, I know that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, joy, and a sound mind. I know that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So I don't have to sit in the seat of fear. I can sit united with Christ in my true position with the authority that I've been given. And I can say, this is where I sit. This is where I stay. I'm not going to allow myself to get bogged down with fear. I'm united with Christ. I'm an heir of God, right? Okay, or what can happen is we can sit in this chair, and this can be the chair of sickness, right? You can sit in sickness, or you can say, nope, by Jesus Christ, by His stripes that He took, I am healed. And so by His stripes, I'm healed. I'm not going to sit in the seat of sickness. I know that Psalm 103 says that He heals all my diseases. He forgives all my iniquities. I know what the Word of God says. I know what the promise says. I know what my ticket says, and I'm going to live by that. I'm going to walk in that, and I'm not going to allow myself to be stuck there. This also can look like the seat of confusion. Confusion with the future. Confusion with what you're going to do in life. Confusion with what's happening in the world around you. Confusion with all sorts of different things. Or you can say, nope, I'm seated with Christ. God is not a God of confusion. God's not a God of chaos. God's a God that's going to give me direction and hope. He's going to be the light to my feet. He's going to illuminate the path I should take. I don't have to be confused with what's going on. I'm seated here. And so I know, because I know the ticket, I know that the ticket will also show me what's to come. The ticket will also show me the path. So I don't have to live in confusion. I can be seated with Christ in confidence that God will light my path. That seat can also look like the seat of lack or poverty. I've been here before, sat in this seat before, and thought, you know, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay all the bills? How am I going to pay for tuition? How am I going to pay for rent? There's so many things that are coming up. I also want to save my money. Like, oh my gosh, there's just so much. I feel like I'm just scraping by. And I've been when I first started Bible school and I moved down to Tulsa and started Bible school. And so, you know, I was just freshly graduated from college and taking on all these financial responsibilities, paying for tuition and rent and food. Because apparently when you're an adult, you have to pay for food. And when you want to buy string cheese is actually kind of expensive. And so I didn't get the same benefits. I was in Tulsa, so I couldn't get the string cheese benefits. So if I wanted to buy string cheese, that's expensive. So anyways, I'm sitting here and I'm just kind of freaking out because there's so many things that are happening. There's so many payments that are coming up and it's like overwhelming. And so I sat here for a short little bit, but thankfully the Lord reminded me and stirred up my faith that this isn't where I have to stay. This isn't the seat that I have to choose to stay in. I can choose, because I'm an heir, I can choose to sit in this seat with Jesus. And so what I began to do is I began to confess, okay, Lord, I know that your word says in Philippians that you shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so I thank you, God, that because I'm seated with you, because I've known you, because I put you first in my finances, I've been tithing, I've been giving, I've been trying to honor you, I'm working hard in my job. I believe that because I'm an heir of God, because I'm a part of God's economy, that God, you shall supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then I added this. I said, and God, I thank you that my tuition is paid in full. I said that every time, anytime fear began to rise up and I would find myself beginning to kind of crouch down and sit in this chair, it was like, nope, I believe God shall supply all my needs. My tuition is paid in full. Anytime a payment came around and I had to pay for rent or had to pay for tuition, I said that little confession. And I didn't just say it just to say it. I believed it. I really truly believed it, because that's what my ticket says. My ticket says that God shall supply all of my needs. So that's what I believe and that's what I know. So I'm going to stay in faith. Trust that God, this may look kind of daunting to me right now at 21 years old. This may look daunting, but God, I trust and I believe this is what you're going to do for me. So I would say that every time. And do you know, my first year of school, anytime I had to have a payment, my needs were always met. I always had more than enough. At times I'd be like, whew, all right, Lord, you better have this one because it's not looking too good. But man, every time God met my needs, he always supplied more than enough. I had more than enough money to go pay for rent and tuition and food and string cheese. So then what happened is then at the end of my first year, there was one day, it was a Thursday morning, I was wearing a green dress. Isn't it ever kind of weird how you remember those like specific details? It's Thursday morning, I was wearing a green dress. I could probably take you to the exact seat in the room that I was sitting in on this Thursday morning. And it was just one of those mornings where all of a sudden that fear just rose up like so strong in my heart. And I was kind of like half sitting here and kind of starting to get teary-eyed because I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much happening. And now we've got to begin preparing for second year, and second year tuition is a little bit more. And whew, okay, no, Lord, I thank you. And just kind of, no, rise up. I know where I'm seated. God, I thank you that you shall supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I thank you for paying my tuition in full. My tuition is paid in full. So I said this little prayer Thursday morning. Then later that day, about an hour later, I get a call and I get called into the dean's office. And so this particular year, I had been praying. I was like, Lord, I just want to get more involved with the school. I want to just do whatever I can in my time here. I want to just get more involved and do whatever I can. So I kind of been praying that prayer. And so the dean calls me into his office and he says, hey, Annie, we have an opportunity for you. Do you want to take it? And basically, the opportunity was to become an ambassador for the school. And I would just get to tell more people about the school. And there's a little bit more responsibility and all this different stuff. And I was like so on board for it because it just sounded awesome. It was exactly what I wanted. And so I was like, yeah, totally. I am like so down for that. Let's do this. Count me in, consider me in, I'm your girl next year. So, you know, we end the conversation, and I grab my stuff, and I stand up, and I start to walk out the office. And remember, this is the same day I was having the kind of fear, and I had to remind myself, nope, this is where I'm seated. And so as I'm walking out of the office, the dean says, oh, Annie, one more thing. Have a seat real quick. Have a seat. I forgot to tell you. One more thing. I forgot to mention that because you're taking this role, what this means is your tuition is going to be paid in full next year. What? I started just bawling because I was just overwhelmed and so grateful and shocked that my tuition, that he even said that my tuition was going to be paid in full, that they were covering all of it because I was taking on this extra role. Now, that was a situation where I could have stayed in this seat and I could have just wallowed from the very beginning in this seat. But really, truly, where I was really meant to sit the whole time was in this seat. Not because of anything I did, but because of who God is. Because of what he's called us as heirs of God, what he's called us to, what he's called us to live in. And when I knew my ticket, when I knew what my ticket said, I could operate with confidence and with authority that, man, God will meet every single one of my needs. So this chair down here, this chair can look like a lot of things. It can maybe look like low self-esteem or a lack of confidence or whatever it may be. I was there earlier this week and had to remind myself of who my identity is in Christ. We can sit in all sorts of different chairs. What we have to do is we have to recognize, no, we are children of God. We are seated. Where we are actually seated, not because of anything we've done, but where we are seated is with Christ above all principality, above all power, above all might, and everything that has a name. So whatever this chair looks like, put a name on it, because guess what? The name of Jesus is higher. The name of Jesus is better, and you've been delegated the authority to use the name of Jesus and to use the word of God to overcome anything that the enemy may throw your way, because it's where we are seated. It's the advantage that we get as heirs of God. Amen. Amen. So when we acknowledge and then when we choose to operate in that chair, it changes everything. When we acknowledge, okay, no, that is actually where I'm seated. And then we choose to operate from that place. It changes our entire life. Like I said, it changes how you handle trials and tribulations and issues that may come your way. Because you face everything with a whole lot more confidence, a whole lot more joy, and a whole lot more faith, knowing that your seat buddy is Jesus. And that you don't have to just be stuck in this. You can face anything head on with faith and confidence because you know whose you are and you know who you're sitting next to and you know who has your back. It's amazing what can happen. And then this is what happens too. When you begin to operate from this place, when you know what the word says and you choose to begin to operate from this place, what happens is it affects other people. It affects the people that are in your world. And what it does is it affects other people's outcomes and it affects other people's destinations. So as you choose to operate from this place, it changes things. When I was at the Pistons games and we were way up in the nosebleeds and looking down, we hardly watched any of the game because what we're doing mostly is we're just people watching, right? Or trying to get on the Jumbotron. We're just people watching. And what we're doing specifically is we're looking at everyone who's sitting courtside and we're looking, oh my gosh, how do they get courtside tickets? How did they do that? That looks so fun. Who are those people? I wish I was sitting courtside. One day I want to sit there. We're just watching them and wondering how they did whatever they did to get into the courtside seats. The same thing happens for you and I when we operate in this seat. People begin to look and watch and they say, how are they living that life? Why do they face every trial and everything that comes their way with such a joy and such a smile on their face and such confidence? How are they living that life? I wish I could live their life. And so then what you can do then as you've operated in this is then you can then become an encouragement for other people. So when other people are facing things and they're lonely and they're hurting and they're confused and they're sitting in this seat down here, you can begin to say, hey, I was once there, but because I'm an heir of God, because I'm a child of God, because Jesus is the Lord of my life, guess what? Those seats look a lot less daunting from this position. So let me tell you about it. Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. And you can change other people's outcomes and their situations because you know who the real winner is. Right? And then what also happens is then you can change other people's destination. So what can happen is as you operate from this place, people begin to say, hey, I want what you have. And it opens up an opportunity. It opens up a door for you to begin to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And for you to begin to be able to tell people, I was once there, but now I'm here because of Jesus. Do you want it too? Let me pray for you. That's what it does. It changes others' outcomes and it changes others' destinations. It makes life a whole lot more fun to walk around as a Christian in true victory and true triumph versus walking around as a Christian defeated and down and just being subject to whatever the enemy may throw your way. But when you know the authority that you have, when you know that Satan is defeated and you don't have to be subject to his devices, then man, life gets a whole lot more fun. Life gets a whole lot more adventurous and life gets a whole lot more faith-filled. So my final encouragement for you guys today is this. If you find yourself right now seated in this position somewhere, whatever it is that you may be facing, my encouragement is this. Go to the Word of God and find out what the ticket says about this seat. Find out whatever, if you're facing issues with your marriage, if you're facing financial issues, if you're facing whatever, and you find yourself in this fear and this confusion and this state, then begin to go to the Word of God and say, God, what promises have you made to me regarding this situation? And then begin to believe those, stand on those, tuck those away in your heart, believe that what God's Word says is true, believe that God is faithful to do whatever His Word says. And begin to just stand in faith that, no, I don't have to stay here, I can stay here in my true position, because I know what the Word of God says. If you don't know where to start, if you're like, yeah, I have issues with my marriage, but I don't even know what verses have anything to do with marriage, then God bless the 21st century that we can Google it. Just Google verses about marriage and find out, God, what do you have to say? What does your word say about this thing that I'm facing? Because we, once again, this all happens. We can live this life when we actually know the promises that are written in the Word of God. So get into the Word of God because God wants to speak to you through His Word, but you just got to open it up. You got to begin to see what He has to say to you. Amen? And then my other encouragement is this, is then just begin to walk it out. Just begin to have some faith. Gird up your loins and begin to believe that what God's Word says is true. Amen? It's encouraging. It'll be a game changer for you every single day. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for the fact that we are children of God. that we are heirs of your throne, that we are heirs of your glory. And so God, I just pray today that Lord, for every single person that's in this place, no matter what they may be facing, no matter what chair or what seat they may find themselves in, God, I ask that God, you would just begin to encourage them, that God, you would begin to just encourage them that they are truly seated with you, Father. I pray that faith would just rise up in this place, that faith would just be just the result of all of us just walking out of service today. We just have more faith in you, more trust in you, more faith in your word, and God, even more passion to see what your word has to say and what the promises of God truly are. So Father, we thank you for it. God, we thank you that we are heirs, that we are seated with you, and that God, we can rule and reign on this in this lifetime because of who you are, not because of what we've done, but because of who you are and because we have joint seating with you. So Father, we thank you for it. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.